Oh, hi, Mark.
That scream can mean only one thing. Here he is! Star. You Take the North podcast. Co-founder of Saturday Suckage and the Wake and Bake Club. He is Mark Grody. Oh, hi, Mark!
Hi, Steve. How are you doing this morning or this afternoon?
I'm groovy. Yeah. By the end of the day, I could be bitching.
Well, you know, I mean, you got to have something to shoot for.
It's always good,
Steve Rosenblum.
Always good to have a goal. You know what? Totally rad would be the ultimate goal, but we get to bitching first and then see where we are.
I just think of you as California cool for right now.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you this. Why did Caleb suck to start the game?
I don't know. Maybe it's because they were on the road for the first time. Could that have been it? Which I thought was interesting when that question came up, or maybe Ben Johnson offered him it himself. He said, if this is us on the road, not good enough. We've got to get better in a hurry. Unfortunately, what we saw last night was very similar to what we saw in the regular season with Caleb Williams a lot, where the first drive last year oftentimes was bad, and it was bad last night, the fumble to Olamide Zaccheaus, a false start for Colston Loveland, and then as things went on, the second drive wasn't particularly good either, but then the third and fourth drives got better, and that was kind of Caleb Williams last year. And if he had played the whole game, he probably would have had a good fourth quarter, because often Caleb Williams last year as well, and instead Tyson Bagent took that honor and was really good on that final drive in the last 2 minutes or so.
That voice is Mark Grody. He's joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. So the Bears offense used scripted stuff. Ben Johnson walked. They said they walked through it, and they looked unprepared to play a game, to play a road game, unprepared. The coach didn't have them prepared. The quarterback wasn't prepared. It was something that the coach seemed to stress. Ben Johnson stressed an opportunity to see how we look, and he said it wasn't good enough. Do you think he was surprised that it wasn't good enough? Was he aggravated? How would you describe the way he came across based on what you've seen Ben Johnson and the various versions of him?
He's come across similarly to everything that he has said in the past. He was, again, I was watching the post game live last night, and I was texting with my Take the North partner, Dan Weider, at the time. We're still at a point where both of us are like, wow, honesty, the transparency, the obvious frustration from the head coach, not using a lot of words, but keywords to make it clear that it's not good enough. Nodding along with the reporter as the reporter was presenting in his question that Caleb Williams was holding the ball too long, and that Ben Johnson, his head going up and down, and, you know, ready to agree. We got to get better in a hurry. All of that kind of stuff. So this was a typical reaction, I thought, out of Ben Johnson saying that they're not good enough right now. You know, one of the things that I'm wondering right now, there's really no way that we're going to be able to find this out, probably, is, and I don't know that Ben Johnson's honesty goes this far. I want to know if he thinks his team is going to be struggle early on this season. I mean, obviously, all teams are going to be better, you know, 4 or 5 games in, but it just doesn't quite look right yet. I mean, even the defense, and I keep in mind that is Patrick Mahomes last night. You don't have Grady Jarrett. You don't have Jalen Johnson. You don't have Kyler Gordon. But the Bears defense looked a step slow last night in Kansas City. So it could all get better. Got a little ways to go here before September 8th against Minnesota, but last night was not good for either first-team offense or first-team defense, except for that fourth drive. The hell of a drive, the 7-play, 78-yard touchdown drive for Caleb Williams, and the pass to Roma Dunze. That was awesome. That was terrific, but you can't take that long in to get to that point.
It's also against second stringers. I mean, you were down 17-3 against the first string, and I think that was more representative of the way they played. But you talked about the defense and the defensive line. They got bullied. They got manhandled. They kind of did, Kansas City did to the Bears what the Bears did to Miami and made Miami cry and run for mommy.
The Bears were chasing last night. I mean, seeing big Andrew Billings out in the middle of the field trying to sprint down with the rest of the defensive linemen. I saw some, you know, guys kind of throwing their arms up, and I don't know if that was because other guys missed assignments on the defensive line, but literally, you do so many times, and you know, watching the game, just would see Bears defenders chasing. They look, yeah, Kansas City just that fast, or were the Bears that slow? And it's ironic because Allen, you know, one of the things that he has been transparent about, or one of the things he wants and that we look for each game here, is he's all about speed. He likes size and speed, which does sound good for the NFL. I think everybody likes size and speed.
Yeah, hey.
But he's made a point out of it, and last night they didn't seem to have size and speed.
Okay, well, do they at least get ice cream on the flight home? Do they get something? Do they get to go to Dairy Queen? Do they get treats? See, here's the thing with what we saw were a lot of what we saw last year. So that scares me. I don't know what Caleb has learned or what he hasn't. And I talked to Studs about this, and so I want to talk to you about it. What scares you about what you've seen after two preseason games in which Caleb Williams played in the practices? What scares you, and what gives you hope?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's funny you bring up the defense and the scary part right there, since we're talking about it. It because the defense has been all positive for the most part in this training camp and in the two previous preseason games. I felt like the defense is going to be okay, or at least I was starting to have that feeling, like just looks better. And then last night was a big reminder of how bad the Bears defense was at times last year, especially when they were missing players like Andrew Billings and Jaquan Brisker. Are they that fragile? Is the Bears defense that fragile that, you know, that it was rough without Grady Jarrett, Jalen Johnson, and Kyler Gordon? And look, they didn't play a full game. So who knows what would have happened if the first team D. I'd like to think that Dennis Allen would have adjusted a little bit. But that just reminded me that it wasn't just about the offense struggling last year at times. It was also about the defense. So that put a healthy little fear in me last night. What scares me about the offense is, again, a microcosm last night where it was all the things that they, after a really good drive against Buffalo the week before, like where it was almost flawless on the first drive, it was as if they resorted back to what we saw last year. So those are things to be concerned about. One of the things that, if you're asking me what I'm encouraged about and what I think might be better this year than last year, is DeAndre Swift. Swift last night, 7 carries for 28 yards. He was just a big part of what they were doing on, you know, the second drive, 4 straight plays to DeAndre Swift, a ton of plays to him on that third drive as well. And one thing I noticed even the final day of training camp, which I attended the other day, I guess it was Wednesday, was like a lot of DeAndre Swift, more than I had seen in other practices. So when we talk about tearing down the offense and the way that Ben Johnson is going to run things, especially early, I think we're starting to see that. And again, this just should not necessarily be a revelation. We're going to see a lot of the running of the football. And I think that last camp, the drives last night, the second, third drives last night, are going to be more like what we should expect from the Bears early on. Now, you're going to have those big passes too, hopefully. Like that fourth drive was just perfect because you had the 25-yard pass to Zacchaeus. You had what I thought was the best part for Caleb Williams, missing the 50-50 connection with Roma Dunze. And that's not necessarily on Caleb. That's That's probably more on Rome because that's supposed to be his specialty, but he misses the 50-50 ball, does Rome, and then right after that he hits Rome Odunze for 37 yards on the left side of the field and then plugs it into the end zone to him. So I thought that was one of the most encouraging parts about the entire preseason for the Bears, because there were too many times last year where one play would lead to another bad play, and in this case it was like, screw it, miss that play, how about this play? And it looked really good, and it eventually led to a touchdown.
Mark Rohde is my guest here on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're talking Bears. He covers the Bears for The Score. He's also the co-host with Dan Wiederer of the Take the North podcast, and they did one after last night's game in the flush of what you saw and what happened. What was the best moment? You talked about that fourth drive where they went down, essentially executed a two-minute drill. Is that it? Is that the highlight? Is that what you take away from it? Or are there other things that you found in the play of certain players, maybe certain units? What besides that last drive?
Yeah, no doubt. The last drive was a big deal to me. As far as other units are concerned, I'll talk about some of the wide receivers, because Alamide had a nice game. Rome ended up having a nice game. DJ Moore on that first drive did catch the 14-yard pass on the 3rd and 19. That wasn't ideal, obviously, but DJ Moore got involved. I guess, Steve, I would talk about everybody loves the competition for a 6th wide receiver this time of year. So I would go with, Jahadae Walker with the touchdown at the end of the game, 3 catches, 37 yards. Maurice Alexander has been showing up in camp and in these preseason games. And then you have Tyler Scott, who had 3 catches for 37 yards last night. It's interesting to see those guys jockeying for position. I think we know who the contributing wide receivers are going to be. And Alamide Zaccheaus probably should get some MVP votes for this camp and for this preseason. So the wide receiver situation continues to stand up to me. And I'm really curious right now, man. I mean, I know we're getting into other stuff. I said earlier in camp that no doubt about it, I think I said this on one of the episodes of Take the North with Weezy, that no doubt in my mind, DJ Moore is going to still be the leading wide receiver on this team. I'm starting to wonder about that. I'm starting to wonder if it's going to be more Rome Odunze, because I don't even know I don't even think DJ was on the field for that fourth drive a lot of the time. And I'm not saying that that's a message or anything like that, but it just feels like the Bears want it to be this connection with Rome Odunze as your top guy. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how Ben Johnson spreads the ball around, who he values. Luther Burden was playing some second string last night. So it's going to be fascinating when the lights come on literally for real on that September 8th game against Minnesota. The snap counts are going to be fascinating to follow, I think.
I had a discussion with Trash Panda earlier. I expect Ben Johnson to come out with a whole bunch of surprises that Monday night, that season opener. I expect him to do stuff because they've not shown much of anything. What he's shown is that he's got a quarterback who really can't execute a lot of basic things of what a conventional behind center offense can do. I would think the possibility of a surprise that he comes out with an offense that is a better version of what Lincoln Riley ran and had Caleb Williams win a Heisman Trophy at USC. I would think we're going to see surprises. Brian Flores might be caught off guard. If Ben Johnson is a man of his word in tailoring a game plan, tailoring a playbook, tailoring a coaching scheme around the talents of his players, where would you think we could expect surprises of Ben Johnson? Because I think it's going to happen. I'm just not sure where.
Well, another thing that we haven't seen a ton of, and even going back to that last practice, and a lot of this too, like the last practice and then even those second and third drives where it was heavy DeAndre Swift, that could also be Ben Johnson. We're at the end here. I have to go out of the way not to show a lot of what we're doing. One of the things that we haven't seen a ton of recently with Caleb Williams is throwing the ball deep, throwing the bombs, downfield. I mean, I think that they have, because it doesn't feel like Caleb is ready to just go full, you know, lights, camera, action, and maybe he will get there. But it has felt like slowly but surely a more conservative ask from Caleb Williams. And maybe that's just for now and see how things go, but the short conservative passes have been effective in a lot of the running game. But you got to throw the ball down the field at some point in time. And I think that's the stuff. That's the stuff that's going to be up Ben Johnson's sleeve. Colson Loveland is going to be up Ben Johnson's sleeve in that first game. He's just been, I mean, like I said, Colson Loveland didn't have a great game last night with the early penalty, obviously, and you just can't have that kind of stuff at this point. But look for Ben Johnson to dial him up. It sure feels like that should be part of the game plan.
What did you make of Ben Johnson's statement? This was, you know, the hopes for the Bears' record or being a contender for the playoffs, for making this season anything but the kind of death march that we've seen and experienced and dealt with and tried to survive lately. When he said, we have plenty of time to assess what has gone on over the last couple of weeks and what direction we have to go here for the opening game. To be honest with you, we might have to ebb and flow a little bit after that opening game. Usually it will take up until the bye week. I think it is placed at the right time for us to identify who we are and what we are going to be for the rest of the season. Did you make anything of that other than, or was it a palm to forehead moment like, oh God, we got to suck for a month and then take
a... Man, it does suck. And maybe they won't. Maybe the Bears will be 4-0. Maybe things will click. Like that possibility is always real when they really unload it. We're just talking about. But I will see that quote, and then I will raise you, taking you back to what he said last night, and I took it very seriously. If this is us on the road, not good enough. We got to get better in a hurry. And I'll say that I think that quote carries over. You could put that in general. It's not good enough yet. We got to get better in a hurry. So that's Ben Johnson kind of admitting that. I don't know if he would use the words behind, and I don't even know if that's right. I just don't think that they are as far ahead as maybe they thought they would be at this point. Some of that has to do with what has been going on with the offensive line and some of the other injuries that have occurred throughout training camp. But I think that's symbolic, the offensive line thing, the left tackle thing of the Bears not being as far ahead as they wanted to be in this camp. They wanted to have that offensive line thing down. It is down now. I mean, it's going to be Braxton Jones, barring an injury or barring some super surprising acquisition for a left tackle. But I don't think, last I checked, Jason Peters is still back out on that boat. So I don't see him coming in this year to save the day at left tackle. But, I think that they're not as far. It doesn't mean the Bears are bad. It just means listening to Ben Johnson and reading between the lines and talking to people, they're probably just not as far ahead as they thought they would be at this point. And it's good that they were being ambitious to wanting to be higher than they were at this point.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll see. Still play the games and still got a chance to surprise the Vikings and whoever else they face. That's one of the big advantages they have with a new coach and a coach who swears he's going to build a game plan around the talents of his players, not force them to fit into a scheme to go all naggy on them. So before I let you go, Mark, we have a we have an audio component to this visit from you, and it's our friend Christopher Walken.
Oh,
and do we have this ready to go? Because you're throwing the microphone around, Trash Panda, like you're mad that
I'm moving the mic so I can see you properly.
Oh, okay. All right.
He didn't even play Dirty Frank coming in. What's going on?
Yes, I did.
There?
What are
yes,
you talking
he did.
About?
We had the scream. I waited till
Sorry.
After the.
I couldn't hear it. Like, you know how sometimes, because I don't usually do these hits on my phone, and it got all mangled. And I'm sorry, Stud.
Yeah, no, he did.
I was going to call you out there, and it didn't go well, me calling you out.
The audacity.
Sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, I know you were maybe you still are a little monster. You can clarify for us.
Wait, what?
You're a little monster. Lady Gaga's little monster. One of the little monsters,
yeah,
right?
I haven't thought about that in a while. I'm just so into Gracie Abrams these days that I think I've left her behind a little bit.
All right. Well, she hasn't forgotten you, and I bring to you. This is on a British show. They had Christopher Walken read the lyrics of Poker Face.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas plays. Fold them. Let them hit me. Raise it, baby. Stay with me. I love it. Luck and intuition play the cards with spades to start. And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's in his heart. Oh! Oh, 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 ah, oh, e, oh, 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 I'll get him hot, show him what I've got, oh, 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 ooh, oh, e, oh, oh, I'll get them hot, show them what I've got. Poker face, poker face.
There you go, Mark. Christopher Walken.
The lyrics. Like, where was that?
It was on a British show, a BBC show. And okay. I came across that, and I said, wow. This is, I didn't know if you were still a little monster. You used to be a little monster. I will use anything, any link to get that on the air because I thought that was hysterical.
He's funny, man.
Yeah.
Has anybody, like Chris, a serious and hell of an actor who has just stopped, who has just decided, you know what? People dig my stuff. I'm just going to become that character. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to, and good for him. How old is he? Like, he's got to be, what, 75?
Yeah, and he has zero bleeps to give. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Good for him, man. And he's probably making as much money as he's ever made in his life.
He's actually 82.
82? Look
82.
At that.
He's just like, screw it, man. The rest of my colleagues are retiring, and and now people just think I'm cool, man. So I'm going to ride this out.
And he needs more cowbell. That's what
more
he needs.
More cowbell.
Yeah.
He reminds me of you, man. He's like a cult hero, and he's always great. He's always hilarious, and he's a terrific talk show host like you, my friend.
Ooh, 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 oh. I'm just going to start repeating the lyrics from Poker Face then. I appreciate the compliment.
Mark, you're the good Steve. I miss you, buddy. I always miss you. I hope
miss
you're doing
you,
well.
Miss you, too. Love you, need you, want you.
Bye.
Bye. Mark Rohde. The heart of the score right there. That's what it's all about. We take a break. We come back. Hard Knocks is going on. It's not the Bears this year, but it was the Bears this week. And there was some other stuff that comes up with the Bears that we just wanted to share. Me and Trash Panda are going to share with you. On the next version, next edition, the next segment of Saturday Suckage, fellow Suckageers, just wait for it. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I don't want to go, Trash Panda. I like the breathless music. All right, guess I got to talk. Welcome
There's
in.
There's 90 more seconds on the bump. You can let it go if you want.
Welcome in. Welcome back. Saturday Suckage. We'll be out of your hair at 2 o'clock. Thank you for tolerating us. Hard Knocks this year. It's not the Bears year, but it's okay. It's not the Bears, but the Bears are on that show because it was the Bills, right? See what I did there? And the Bears are on that show, Bears. So bleepity, bleepity, listen up, George. There were a lot of bleeps by the son of a former Bears coach. I love the way this stuff turns back on itself like an Escher drawing. Defensive coordinator for the Bills, Bobby Babich, is taking cues from Sean McDermott. And just decided to rip his players, rip his team after the Bears did some good stuff against him. We talked about it at the beginning of this. Babich yelled, "We need leadership and tone setters. Ball is bouncing outside of us. That was bleeping garbage. I'm going to be flat honest. That was garbage. It's a bleeping mentality every day. Every day. Do we understand that? Does anybody disagree that bleep was not acceptable?" So based on what happened later on in Chicago, they in fact did not understand, because that was a team, those were guys the Bears beat. But anyways, the point was, what caught me is, here's this son of a former Bears coach, and he's defensive coordinator for the Bills, and he's talking like football people talk, which wasn't allowed to happen last year when Chicago's, when the heritage franchise of the NFL was not allowed to use, to put the F in NFL.
Our culture is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and the thing was, the grandfather that he likes, loves to, George loves to cite, the most potted mouth guy in the history of pro football, right? So there's something karma about that. And the, there was some other part of the, we feel this in Chicago, Tre'Davious White was wringing out his socks, which seemed like a gallon of water after practice. And we know what that feels like here. Some of those weeks are just so awesome. And there's a rookie looking on, and he's going, "Oh my God, oh my God." It's just wringing out socks, and they're filled with water. It was hysterical. And the other thing that I liked, and I didn't know it was legal, but it reminded me of Animal House. Niedermeyer, you know, he's a sneaky little bleep like you are, Marmalard. When he had Flounder, Pinto, shoveling out the stables.
Oh, yeah.
His beloved horse, right? So Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, has running back Ty Johnson, takes him out horseback, and this wonderful, this bucolic countryside. And then he made him shovel out a stall. I didn't know you could do that. And one of...
I mean, I don't think that's considered hazing because it's happened outside team facilities, right? So
no, that's... I'm not sure they're buying that. You can do... They may not consider the team liable for it, but that could be considered hazing.
I mean, I guess it all depends on how the rookie took it, you know?
Yes, he did. So Ed Oliver revealed the names of some of his horses. He has a lot of horses, that Ed Oliver. Chaos is one of them. Don Julio and Panty Snatcher.
Perfect. Perfect.
One of his horses.
Chaos, Don Julio, and Panty Snatcher.
Were some of the names. Yeah. That's so would... If George McCaskey were editing this, if he were the Pagulas, he was the Bills owner, would he have allowed that, the name of that horse, to be on the air?
That's a good question. I'm going to say no. I don't think so.
I'm with you on that. I believe that strongly. Yeah. So we continue our report on the AFC East with Trash Panda. Do you want to share with what the Kleenex Strength Dolphins had to say?
So this week, one of the Dolphins players, Aaron Brewer, who I believe is their center, I believe he's their starting center, he was asked a little bit about some of the takeaways from the
joint
practices that the Dolphins had, because they were here. We know that the Dolphins were here against the Bears, and then the next week they went to Detroit. And they got beat up by the Lions, too. So this is what Aaron Brewer had to say.
That first joint practice with Chicago, I felt like they were like some BS, you know what I'm saying? Because they was out there tackling and this and that. So it was like fake physicality, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we they out there playing tackle football and everybody else was out there playing like 7-on-7 or something, like, it's fake physicality. And you kind of seen that when we went out there and played in a real game.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. You're tackling in fake football?
Fake physicality? Dude, just, it's so weird to hear a professional football player talking like, can you imagine? You can't even imagine Owen Kreutz saying something like that, right? Like, I don't know if Owen has heard this yet, but I would love to hear his response. Or imagine if one of Owen's teammates, or if a Bear said that and Owen heard it.
Yeah, like, that would be good.
Like, I mean, dude, oh, they were tackling. Like, yeah, it's football, dude.
Go right to Doug Buffone. It's football, mister!
Exactly! Like, what are we doing here, man? And if things were going quote-unquote too far, then the coaches would have put a stop to it. If they were being more physical than you anticipated, then step up your game and be physical back at them. I don't understand what the big deal... Because that's kind of what happened when the Bills came here. Apparently, Bills players were told, like, hey, they're going to come at you. So you got to bring it. And the Bills brought it. And it was a fairly even physical practice for both ends. Because the Bills are actually like a tough team. it's not doing anything for Miami's history of being called a soft team. Uh-huh. And it just, if I were to bet, I was talking with Lawrence about this off air this week. If you're going to bet on first coach fired right now, Mike McDaniel might be up there, because the reports for Miami right now are awful. And it doesn't sound like his team has come ready to play at all.
And I don't know that he's got a quarterback that is going to find a way to save him either.
That
sometimes deodorizes your shaky hold on a locker room and your relationship with other players. But if you're that soft that you're worried about tackling in football and you dare say that,
In the way that certain members of the Miami press have been like taking the Dolphins' side on this, it's just like, oh, it was, they're saying, oh, it was over the top. It was way more. Why are you crying about it? You weren't out there. Why are you defending the fact that the Dolphins just kind of got their asses beat up and down the field? Especially, it sounds like the Bears' defense, from what we heard, just absolutely
destroyed
the you-know-what out of the Dolphins' offense.
Yeah. They did.
And now the Dolphins' offense playing without Tyreek Hill, and Jaylen Waddle didn't play a whole lot, but still. And then you saw it in the preseason game when the Bears' backups turned the Dolphins away at the goal line, mm-hmm. which is so sad for them.
Glad you're taking pity on them. You know, around here, it's like get tough or get out. It's a pretty simple concept. That's a football concept as well as a Chicago concept. Get tough or get out.
I just can't imagine, even if you're Mike McDaniel, how do you sit there and hear a player talk like that or hear the way that your players have been reacting to how some of the practices have gone and not say, hey, guys, you know that you're allowed to also
tackle back.
Tackle, yeah. Right?
You can be tough too.
I would be furious if I was their coach. And apparently, it just doesn't seem like anything's getting done.
No. Well, I wouldn't bet on them to win.
They're playing tackle football.
Super Bowl. How dare they? 773 texter. Steve, did you ever cover pro wrestling? If you did you have any stories to tell? Thanks. NS Zyke. What would prompt that? I mean, I would think if Lawrence were on the air, Lawrence would be your nexus of score and pro wrestling.
Lawrence,
right?
Ray Diaz knows his wrestling a little bit too, yeah.
Yeah, but Lawrence has been foremost. I covered one pro wrestling match. It was a tag team. It involved Dallas Diamond Page, or Diamond Dallas Page, I forget.
I have no idea.
And Hulk Hogan, and they were on opposite sides. Their tag team partners were Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone. It was after the NBA Finals, and it was in San Diego, and that was the tag team. And whatever you know of wrestling and whatever you see on television, it is horribly worse in person. You should never go to a pro wrestling match.
I have friends that go to wrestling, like amateur, I guess you could say, wrestling matches around the area. And they also go to some of the, you know, big time events that they have at the UC or Allstate or whatever. I would never go.
It looked even worse because Hulk Hogan and Diamond Dallas Page, I think that's the right order for all his names. The choreography, they got it. They knew it. They looked like what you were used to seeing. But then there's Rodman and Karl Malone, and as much as they may act and ham it up on an NBA floor, they were nothing. They looked so bad in this whole thing.
Of course they did.
So I'm walking around. There's a whole bunch out back in the San Diego Convention Center, I think. There's a bunch of trailers. Everybody got their own trailers, and I was looking in here. So I looked for, I thought I found Rodman. Instead, I found Chris Chelios and his sons. He had come down from Malibu to watch this wrestling match and brought his kids.
Hell yeah.
And then there was the Hulk Hogan sighting and Diamond Dallas Page, whatever his name is, and Hulk Hogan checking on him, and they both have ice taped to them like they look like Michael Jordan's knees used to look like, which is ice wrapped around. They were Mr. Freeze. They were Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, because that's really physical. Wrestling might not be the real blow. It hurts. You're falling a lot. You're doing all that stuff, but it's all painful choreography. Anyways, that is my wrestling story.
Excellent.
Dennis Excellent. Rodman and Karl Malone as tag team partners. But fortunately, I got to go to In-N-Out Burger afterwards, and that saved the whole thing because it was distasteful. All right, take a break. We come back, and there's more, more outrage from Trash Panda, because there's always more outrage from Trash Panda. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. See, not many people play air saxophone.
I don't think I think that was a trombone you were doing there.
Yeah, that too. Right. That's it. There's not a lot of people that play air brass, but here we go.
Breaking the mold.
Well, yeah. We got Chicago in Chicago. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Look at us segueing. Okay. ESPN released position rankings for all 32 teams as we prepare to enter the 2025 season. Here's where the Chicago Bears were ranked, and we'll get to the part that put blood in Trash Panda's urine. Quarterback, 20th. That wasn't it. You would think we would start with it, right? 20th. That's higher than he ranked last year among starting quarterbacks, Caleb Williams did.
It's a fair ranking, too, I think, right now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in the bottom third. He's a bottom third quarterback. Running back, 21st. So they're telling you their position group compared to their quarterback group is worse. Ooh. Wide receiver, 7th. Now, that's – I would think it would be high – I would believe it should be higher if I thought Caleb Williams and DJ Moore had an actual relationship.
Well, I think that they're basing this on the – just strictly the personnel, not the connection between.
But that's what helps make the personnel great.
I know, but I think that they're making this a binary. How do you look at the skill players? How do you feel about them?
Okay.
That's how I read it anyway.
Okay. Tight end, 6th.
Hell yeah.
I'm glad somebody still remembers that Kmet is a top 5, certainly a top 10 tight end. And then Colston Loveland, who's the object of Ben Johnson's affection, his Sam Laporta wannabe kind of thing. And here we go, offensive line, 3rd. ESPN ranked all the position groups and looked at the Bears' offensive line and said, That's the third best in the NFL. To which Trash Panda tweeted out, has ESPN lost its mind in the year of our Lord 2025?
It's just not something we've seen recently, you know? People looking at the Bears' offensive line and saying, oh, yeah, they're pretty set there. I just thought that was a wild idea. And it really... And then I realized, as you think about the way this preseason and the training camp has played out, I was like, oh, you know what? We're talking about one position on the offensive line a lot, and rightfully so, it's the left tackle, and we think we know who it's going to be now. But I realized, like, oh, you know, no one's really talking about the offensive line. And then I was like, oh, I think that's because they're good and there's nothing to worry about. So, oh, yeah, they have Joe Tooney. He was an all-pro last year. He's probably going to the Hall of Fame. And then you think about, oh, yeah, Drew Dolman. He was the best center on the market. I don't know. I don't know. Olin Kreutz could probably rank the centers for you in the NFL, but I imagine he would be in the top eight, probably. Mm-hmm. And then their right guard, Jonah Jackson, maybe the biggest question mark after he had a rough go of it in L.A.
Yeah, hurt body, hurt feelings.
Hurt body. And, you know, things got, I think, weird there for him. But, hey, when he was with Ben Johnson in Detroit, was a Pro Bowler. Was really good. Mm-hmm. And he got paid to go to L.A. for a reason, right? And Darnell Wright, top 10 draft pick. And so it's, I was like, oh, wow. They actually, I think they have a good offensive line. And others agree. Like, objective outsiders looked at the Bears' offensive line and put them third in the NFL. How about that?
Brian Baldinger is another one of them. Because he was remarking on, he clipped together Caleb Williams' plays from last night that showed Caleb Williams' growth, what he saw as growth. And he showed standing in the pocket, finding a receiver, not darting, and you can't do that unless your line is holding, unless you have time.
It's almost startling to watch Caleb Williams with a pocket that isn't dented in the middle. Yes. Well, you don't have a center. And I appreciate what Coleman Shelton did for, I think Coleman Shelton was largely okay last year. It was, everything was so bad up front that it was hard for anyone to look good, right? But Drew Dolman actually, and Drew Dolman with Jonah Jackson and Joe Tooney actually create a pocket in the middle that Caleb can stand in. And you almost forgot what that looked like.
And you've seen it with Caleb having time. And there are times where he should throw the ball away. Other times where he's made completions. He's taken advantage of it. So I don't know about third overall, but better. And that was the object of the exercise. Don't suck like last year. Give your quarterback a chance. Give your new coach a chance. All right, the music means your misery is over. Your sentence is over. You're all getting paroled. Fellow suckageers, you're free to pursue your weekend. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thanking you for listening, texting, doing all you did to survive this. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.